Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the UCL Fantasy Podcast with me, your host, Ed, with Lewis and with Dan. We are going to be talking about the end of the second leg of the round of 16 group stage. We're going to be talking about those fixtures, what happened. We're going to be reviewing the match day, and we're also going to be looking ahead after the draw for the quarterfinals has been made, a very interesting one at that. All of that to come on the UCL Fantasy Podcast. Right, hello chaps. How was your match day 8 or whatever the heck it was? Dan, you first. How did it go? You had quite a good one, didn't you?
Yeah, I did have a good one. I finally didn't finish last between the three of us, which was pleasant. So that was good. I'm sure we'll review it after each of our teams after we've been through the fixtures and how they went. But generally, I can't complain. It was nice to finally have a captaincy return. I did bottle a last-minute move. It was a full bottle job, where I wanted to get rid of Kevin De Bruyne and Gundogan, I think, to bring in Martin Odegaard and Kvaratskhelia. Obviously, the Kvaratskhelia thing would have been nothing, but Odegaard would have got us a few more points, and I perhaps would have been a little bit happier moving into the quarterfinals, given the draw. But hey-ho, it all went well.
Very good. We'll review and look at who got what in a second. But Lewis, how did your match day 8 go? It went all right again, didn't you? You had... Like Dan, you had David Raya. That I did not have him. But go on, how did your week go?
Yeah, I mean it was really good. It was, I think I was obviously we did the deadline space, and I was I didn't have a clue what I was doing right up until the deadline, to be honest. And in the end, I ended up keeping Sane. He got the assist, albeit it was only two more points than Musiala. But it just feels like I made some good decisions this week, other than obviously the big, massive error that I think we all made, and that was selling Mbappe. We shifted him over to Vinicius, and he got the assist, and Mbappe, well, got the brace, didn't he?
Yeah, it seems like there's two or three, not too. It seems like between like a decent game week and a very good game week, it was two or three decisions. It didn't seem like lots. It felt like most of the kind of picks did all right, and then there was one or two things like Mbappe, like Raya, like maybe another one we'll come on to. But let's actually look at it. So let's see what happened. So in our little group, what happened was, I'm just trying to get it up now. Here we go. Leagues, Ménage à Trois, as it's called. And this week, I got the least amount of points this week. Thought I'd give you two a chance to catch up. So I got 78 points. That leaves me on 594 total. Second last week, was Dan, who got 84 points. He's on 492.
We don't need a total score for me. We don't need that total
score.
Okay.
We'll bleep that out like a swear word. And then Lewis got 91 points and moves into 571. And just before we came on air, he was trying to brag that he's second. So good effort with that, Lewis. Well done. Lewis, do you want to talk about, seeing as you've got the best score, do you want to talk through your team?
Yeah, firstly, obviously I'm second, but I was 40 points behind at everyone. I've managed to half that now. So I imagine the listeners will be clapping right now, saying that's a huge achievement.
Do you reckon? You're imagining a big applause. Yeah, it is a huge, against me, that is a huge achievement. Well done, mate.
But it's two green arrows in a row. I think the Mbappe move is not. I'm gonna get over it quite quickly, because I think we were all in agreement that Mbappe was a risk in terms of minutes. So I think we were all, you know, in agreement with that move. So I can't really kick myself too hard for that. But yeah, I think 91 points up to 8K now. Again, I was like 40. Couple of weeks ago, and obviously Harry Kane would have been unlucky to not get a captaincy return this week, right? You know, Haaland, even he scored. Kane and Mbappe got a brace each, but yeah, it was very underwhelming in midfield. Saka, Zaha, Emery, Bellingham, Sane, all between 3 and 6 points. The City lads, well, we talked about rotation, didn't we? And it happened, didn't it? So it happened in bulk as well, because Foden didn't play. My Aki didn't play. DiMarco was a return that I enjoyed the most, because I think he's been quite a frustrating own for me throughout this whole thing, and I've stayed pretty faithful with him. And he obviously got the goals. So I think of all the returns I'm happiest with was DiMarco, although Raya was a good shot. Very lucky, I suppose.
Well, you're not lucky. I think it was a good pick, wasn't it? I mean, your game week score has kind of been built on this defense, hasn't it? Because you've got Matson, who got 9 points, DiMarco got 8 points, Guerrero got 9 points, and Raya got 10 points. So your midfield is just pretty average, like most people's midfield, and then the up front is kind of what everyone had other than Mbappe. So yeah, it was kind of made with your defense.
Yeah, then they were all kind of picks with good attacking threat, I'd say. You know, Matson, he's already picked up a couple of assists. DiMarco, proven wing back. Obviously, we're going to talk about the games. It's a real shame that Inter are knocked down now, because their team is pretty much a gold mine, isn't it, for assets. So it is disappointing. But yeah, no, overall, you know, I couldn't be happier. Obviously, the Mbappe move is annoying. But it's the only one I can kind of look at and think, okay, yeah, I could have not done that. But yeah, good.
Cool. Dan, your team, just briefly, your team, because we're going to try and make this a snappy pod. No, what do you reckon?
Yeah, no, I got Rhea 10 points, Ruben Diaz 3 points, Saliba 7, DiMarco 8, Matson 9. Matson only 2% owned, so he was the biggest differential jump, I think, for me. Probably 100% owned for people that actually listen to this podcast. Saka with 3 points, honestly trash. Jude Bellingham 5 points, Marcus Thuram points dodging bleep with 2 points. He missed sitter after sitter. Erling Haaland with 6 points, Harry Kane captain doubled to 26, and Nicholas Fulkrug getting a 5 pointer for the assist, had a goal disallowed as well. And honestly, if he hadn't went to the gym that morning and done his shoulders and got absolutely stacked before the game, you would have been onside. That is how close it was. And it's nonsense that someone's offside by a shoulder anyway. I mean, how many people score with a shoulder as it is? Like, I can think of Mario Balotelli when he was taking the mick on the line against Man United. So I just... frustrating. So yeah, I was obviously with 84, really happy with that. Obviously went through earlier on maybe what I could have done in terms of the sort of Kevin De Bruyne move. But yeah, is what it is. Happy with it. We move.
Yeah, and for me, look, I had the worst week out of three of us. I had 78 points, although I still ended up on a grey arrow. I'm still 2K something, so I'm basically the same position. But Harry Kane doubled captain as well. Haaland, I had Vinicius Jr., who scored. Bellingham set him up, who I had as well. Musiala, who should have scored about hat-trick in that game. He was the one with all the chances, and he didn't get anything. Saka, 3 points. Bryce Mendes was my punt. He got 3 points. Maarten, 9. Again, great. Eric Dier played 7. Saliba 7, and then Sommer 3. So the difference really is if I had Raya like you two, I would have had 85 points and been between the two of you. So I'm not going to kick myself. The annoying thing was I had Darmian in the Inter defence who didn't start, and DeMarco did, and DeMarco scored, and yada, yada, yada. So bit gutting. But anyway, that's the past. The order of the league is still me at the top. As just to reassure the listeners, I am still top by a significant margin of 23 points. Lewis is second and Dan is chasing in third. He only a few points behind. I won't mention how many. Let's talk about each game. You're going to say something, Dan? You got anything to say? You want me to...
A few hundred points behind, yeah. I think.
it's not too far off. Let's talk about the games and just briefly comment on each one. So first of all, what was the first one? Let's have a look here. Gosh, when did this start? This was...
Real Sociedad.
When did this start? Oh, gosh, was it in February? Yeah,
Sociedad
versus
Paris.
I'm scrolling. Oh, yeah. No, it started. It started with Leipzig, Real Madrid. I think. Yeah, that was on the 13th of Feb. Oh, no, I've gone back to the first leg. What is wrong with me? Right, let's go.
Ed, you're banned from being the horse. I'm taking over the show, everyone, guys. We're going to start with Real Sociedad versus Paris Saint-Germain.
I'm beating you. that's the funny
thing. It's an embarrassment for myself and Louis, but...
Right, let's start. We're not going to start with that. We're going to start with the one that kicked off at the same time, which was Bayern 3, Lazio 0. So anything to say on that? Apart from we all captained Kane, and when he returned two goals and got player of the match, then it kind of became... It was going to end up being, at that point, a bit of a dull game week between us three, because we all knew that we'd all captained and we weren't going to change it. Anything to point out, Lewis?
Well, I just think Bayern were really good. I thought they were really good. I think they could have scored a few more goals as well. Obviously, Kane is Kane, but they kind of had the fight back, which was good. I thought Lazio were poor, which I think we kind of all expected because they were, you know, away from home. I think I wanted a little bit more for Lazio, but I'm pretty glad they didn't score because obviously we all had a Bayern defender this week, didn't we?
Yeah.
No.
So.
Oh. Dan didn't.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. So I mean,
right, so yeah, I was happy with it.
Yeah, there's not much more to say, is there? Obviously, Sane got the assist. So,
In terms of obviously, we did a spaces beforehand, and I'd mentioned Rafa Guerrero on there. I said if you go for a defender, you should probably go for Rafael Guerrero, and he got the assist. Question marks about how attacking he would be. He looked very attacking. He had couple of shots in the box as well, from what I can remember. But also, Lewis, you took the mick out of his, in good fashion, and I accept it, about the Thomas Muller shout from a couple of years ago. And you were saying, oh, should have backed Muller for this. And I honestly thought that if he was the player of the match, like Kane got it because he scored two. Yeah. But in terms of who the best player was, it was Thomas Muller, I think.
Yeah, it was
and he got his goal. So I just thought that was quite funny that it came back round in
came
that
back to
way.
Haunt us it, again. We'll haunt you again.
And when he got that goal, I was thinking, he is playing really well. If Kane didn't get that second, I was like, Muller's getting this. And Muller could have got another goal as well. So he was involved in the first goal for Harry Kane. I just thought it was nice and poetic after we're talking about it on the last podcast.
Very good. Very good. Lazio crash out, obviously, along with all Italian teams, as we'll come on to. So our Italian friend, Gianni Bitticci, was banging on about it on Twitter. Can shut up now. Let's go to the next game. Real Sociedad Paris. So we all dropped Mbappe. Error, right? Go on, Lewis.
Yeah, I think what it was the uncertainty, isn't it? We pick players based on, okay, talent, but minutes also, because minutes are really important. But yeah, he played the game. I thought Real Sociedad were poor. I think that's fair. I think that is quite fair. I know they scored, but I do think they were... I thought they were worse at home than they were away from home.
And I'd agree with that.
They got a lot of shots off. They got a lot of shots on target, but they were really poor shots, I think, a lot of them. In terms of specific assets, I think Hakimi got subbed before the Real Sociedad goals. I think he would have banked the clean sheet. Yeah. Zaha Emery, he was in the box a couple of times, but nothing major. But Yeah, I haven't really got much to say on this. Obviously, Mbappe, it was whether you had him or not, that was the big talking point, I suppose.
Yeah, that's all right. We're going to talk about the next draw and that we'll probably all bring Mbappe back for the next game. But let's move on. Real Madrid-Leipzig 1-1. Real Madrid scraped through. I was kind of saved in this game because I had Vinicius Junior, I had Bellingham. Nothing was happening. And then suddenly Bellingham sets up Vinicius Junior and there we go. But anything to say on this game? I mean, we expected Real Madrid to go through. A bit closer than we thought. Dan, what do you reckon?
Well, it was close in the first leg as well. If anything, I thought Leipzig probably deserved to win the first leg. It was a Lunin masterclass. Mm. And a worldie from Brahim Diaz that got them, essentially got them through after drawing this game. Yeah, Real Madrid were pretty poor. I don't worry for them at Real Madrid in terms of like, oh my God, cry. They've won more Champions Leagues than everyone else. But I don't think it's going to be great for them playing against Man City, especially what after happened to them last season against them. Real Madrid aren't playing well, generally. Like, they've got the best players in La Liga. So, of course, they're going to be towards the top of the table. They've got some of the best players in the world. So individual quality seems to be what's getting them through games, not necessarily team cohesion. Leipzig can probably count themselves a little bit unlucky, but I think the fact that they were struggling against Leipzig also says a lot because Leipzig weren't fantastic in the groups either.
Mm. Anything to add, Lewis?
Just to reiterate what Dan said, really, I thought Real Madrid were really poor in both legs. I'm not going to lie, that tie could have gone either way, honestly. And if Oppander finished the chances he had for Leipzig, they'd be well away. But it's Real Madrid, isn't it? You know, they could play rubbish and they just find a way to win, don't they? So
that's going to be a good. We're going to come to the draw. Obviously, they've got City next, but it's going to be a fun one. Next, Man City, Copenhagen. So 3-1. What we expected, I suppose. A lot of people were banking on City keeping a clean sheet, but they didn't. Huge rotation. I had Foden and Ake, who ended up not playing a minute. I don't think they did. They were on my bench. And yeah, what we expected in terms of rotation and score. Anything else to add other than that? I mean, Haaland got his goal at the end. But other than that, do we need to know anything, Lewis or Dan?
Not from me, I don't think. I think a lot of people would have watched this game as well. So I don't think that... No,
I think, obviously we mentioned rotation and that's what happened. Alvarez, he would have been, if anyone kept Alvarez, they would have had quite a decent return there. Because I think he got the goal and assist, didn't he, in that game. So yeah, he would have done well. And then obviously Haaland got the goal, but you'd expect them to play their best team going forward for both legs.
Yeah. Arsenal Porto, Arsenal winning on penalties in the end. Now, I didn't watch this, but what do we make of this game? I saw the goal. I saw the penalties in kind of afterwards, but what do we make of this? I mean, it should have been a bit easier for Arsenal, shouldn't it? Or should it not? I mean, Porto, decent side. Their manager's kind of highly rated. What do we think, Dan?
I thought it was a really, really good game. I was flicking between this game and the Barcelona-Napoli game. And obviously the Barcelona-Napoli game got off to a flyer, an absolute flyer. So sort of watching that one more to begin with. I'm not like Lewis, well, go back and watch the games. I'll try and flick between them as best I can. In the Barcelona-Napoli game, sort of run out of intensity quite quickly. And when I put the Arsenal game on, they were clattering into each other. It was a real contest. And Porto played to their own strengths. Ultimately, they let themselves down the right back with some João Mario with some awful, awful defending for Trossard's goal. But I do think from what I saw in normal time on the balance of play, Arsenal were the better team. Probably a little, maybe a little unlucky not to get another, but especially in the second half, Odegaard missed an, Sitters maybe a bit strong, but a really, really good chance. Saka had a chance. Havertz had a really good chance. Jesus had a chance. They just seemed to be coming and coming. And Porto did what Porto do. Just that low block, trying to make it difficult, keep that coming to the rescue. Pepe was absolutely outstanding. If Arsenal missed penalties and sent them wide so Costa didn't save them, I think Pepe probably would have got player of the match. I thought it was unbelievable considering he's the same age as Mikel Arteta. That being said, when it got to extra time, Arsenal looked really nervous. Porto looked like they were gaining a bit of strength, but equally didn't didn't really do anything. They didn't really test Rhea in too many ways. And then they were just absolutely elite at those pens. Every single one was an absolute scorcher, except for Kai Havertz, who was really cool and just sent the keeper the wrong way. You worry for Bayern Munich playing against Arsenal. I think they're an outstanding team. I hate saying it, but because I don't really like Arteta at all. But as far as the players go on the pitch, I think they're outstanding. Martin Odegaard was, it was him and Pepe. They were the two best players on the pitch. I know that David Raya got the player of the match, and I'm happy because I own him, but he wasn't the player of the match. Martin Odegaard and Pepe were the two best players on the pitch by some distance. But Martin Odegaard was absolutely class.
And Lewis, moving on to Barcelona, Napoli, 3-1. Some fantasy UCL fantasy favourites with Lewandowski and Cancelo getting on the score sheet. I don't think anyone really owned them. Someone will have out there. But yeah, anything to say on this? I guess Barcelona kind of sweeping aside Napoli fairly easily.
Yeah, I mean, it was another insane game, by the way. The first leg was nuts, and this was pretty much the same. I thought Napoli were really poor. And I think Barcelona was shaky at times defensively. I just think the way that Napoli were playing, it was just going to happen. Like, so Barcelona scored two goals in the first 17 minutes. But I wouldn't take anything away from that for Barca going forward. I'm not buying what they're selling at the moment. It's not great. I mean, they're good against really poor defences, and Napoli, let's face it, Napoli would, you know, have been poor defensively. But yeah, I know the goals from Cancelo, you know, he was kind of a flashback to the early stages where we all owned Cancelo. Firmin Lopez as well, definitely worth keeping an eye on him, because obviously he started, didn't he? He did really well as well. He always does well, Firmin Lopez, when they bring him on.
And he's only 4.6 million on the game.
Yeah, exactly. That's it, isn't it? So, but yeah,
what a budget option that is against Paris Saint-Germain. 4.6 million.
The issue with Barcelona is this: it's the same, isn't it? It's the same as what it has been all season. It's the fact that so many of their players can score. You know, so many of their players can be involved in the goals, the assists, and stuff that. You know, it's going to be an issue long term, and they're always going to be or feel like punts. But yeah, nothing much more to say on that. It's a shame about Napoli, though.
Yeah, and the whole of, as we said, all the Italian clubs going out. Next, Atletico Madrid, Inter Milan, Inter go through on penalties. I did not watch this, but the big thing for this game is a lot of people had triple Inter, some had four Inter. I only had two Inter, I think, so I've got off lightly. But yeah, what do we make of this? People expected Inter to go through, didn't they, Dan?
Yeah, definitely did. I don't think that's a case of underestimating Atletico at all. I remember having conversations with other people about how bad Atleti made Man City look last year at times. I think it was last year. They have the capability of doing that to literally any team. So it's not like it was a big shock. It's always on the cards with Madrid, but Inter being, 16 points clear of Serie A, dominating games. They go 1-0 up as well. You just think it's done. So I suppose that's where the shock comes from. They were awful, some of those penalties outside of Çalhanoğlu. Some of them were just absolutely dreadful. But Madrid with Antoine Griezmann are always going to be a formidable test. Everyone does the job so well, and then he floats around. He just glides around the pitch. He is back to his best that he was before he went to Barcelona. Some of his first touches, some of his passes, he put it on a plate for a couple of people during the game who couldn't finish the dinner. And again, he's another victim of keepers saving penalties for a player of the match award. Because when it came to actual open play, I just don't think anyone else on the pitch was near his level from what I was watching.
Anything else to add on that, Lewis?
No, well, it mainly the fact that obviously Inter being kicked out. I would say that's quite a big loss for us. For Champions League fantasy players, I think they've got a lot to offer. You know, cheap defenders. Obviously, Darmian didn't play for many, and a lot of people. I know you had him as well, add. But disappointing, really. They've got so many options to pick from. And now, you know, we're stuck with Atletico, who were always, you know, obviously we'll talk about the teams that the draw soon, but they were always going to be a team that no one picked the players from, apart from maybe one. It's quite annoying, but, you know.
It's one of those, I quite liked what you said, Lewis, about Barcelona. At the moment, it always feels like a punt because you don't know who's going to contribute. Atletico Madrid are a little bit like that, I guess. I mean, obviously, Griezmann and Morata in the group stages, people were kind of going in between them and didn't know which one was going to return. And to be fair, actually, I got a couple of good returns from Griezmann, I think. Yeah, who knows? Let's talk about that in a bit. Let's keep it moving. So Dortmund PSV, I think, is the last one, isn't it? So Dortmund PSV, Dortmund comfortably getting through in the end, which is kind of what was expected, right? Sancho having a good game. Dan, Sancho having a good game. Back in Germany.
Yeah, he had a good first half. I think he got the player of the match for the goal, but he did have a good first half, very lively. He made some really good decisions. His goal was excellent, really well taken, which is nice to see. I don't think he really did much in the second. I thought PSV were much better as the game went on, and were sort of reinvigorated a little bit by that Dortmund disallowed goal as well, which, again, it was absolutely the correct decision to be disallowed, but it's just so harsh with the way that the rules are written. PSV, I thought, give a really good account for themselves. Luke de Jong missed a couple of great chances. And that's the story of the tie. PSV not having elite finishing is what absolutely killed them off, because if they did, they'd be going through. They could have put plenty past Dortmund. Kobel's made 7 saves in this game. And that's just the saves. I'm sure one of the chances that Luke de Jong missed, he skied it over the bar, and it was one of the easier chances. Dortmund getting that goal early on, they played so well the opening sort of 20 minutes or so. Really, really high pressing, front foot, try to dominate possession in PSV's final third, effectively. Get the goal, and then it's just counter-attacking football masterclass. And we've seen Dortmund do that against us in the Champions League. They do have a bit of a plan at home. I worry for them away from home. But at home, I think they're an absolutely fantastic side because of just how well drilled they are. They all know what they're going to do. Like, we could say now what is going to happen in the home leg is that they are going to try to dominate the first 15-20 minutes, get a goal up, and then play a counter-attacking football. Like, it's just a plan that we all know is going to happen. Whether obviously they can actually execute that plan is a totally different thing given the nature of the team that they're playing against. But I thought overall it was a fairly even contest from both legs, and I don't think either team can complain about going out, and either team could have went through.
Okay, brilliant. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the draw that's just happened earlier today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
So, chaps, the draw's been made. Very interesting one. A lot of comments about how the best teams are on one side of the draw, and is this going to give Mbappe the chance to get to the final, et cetera, et cetera. Let's just, I'll read the draw and then we'll go through each fixture. So on one side of the draw is Arsenal versus Bayern Munich, mouth-watering fixture. Real Madrid versus Man City, mouth-watering fixture. And on the other side, it's Atletico Madrid versus Dortmund. Again, I don't know why people are like, oh, it's going to be boring. It's going to be boring. It's going to be incredible. It's still going to be amazing. And then PSG, Barcelona. I think there's going to be two cracking games. But let's talk about it each in 10 minutes we've got left, okay? So 10 minutes. First of all, Lewis, Arsenal-Bayern, what are we thinking?
Well, I think, initial thoughts were Harry Kane. Obviously, he goes back to playing against English sides. He loves playing against Arsenal. I don't think it changes. But going without Kane is a good idea, but I could see why people would go without Kane, because obviously Arsenal have proved good defensively. It is interesting that they're quite two big teams, two who I'd say are up there in terms of winning it or initially thought, you know, they had a chance. But yeah, I think Saka against the Bayern defence. I don't think there's too many players I wouldn't go for. You know, there's some nice punts in here as well, the likes of probably Odegaard. I just think it's going to be such a great game. We'll see
these teams, won't we? We'll see Arsenal Bayern and we'll see Real Madrid City before the deadline, so we can help that inform us. Dan, you were saying that, you know, Bayern should be scared. Go on. I know you think Arsenal are going to go through, do you, or you just think it's going to be closer than some people might think?
Yeah, I actually tweeted immediately after whatever the second team was. I think it was Arsenal after the Arsenal game, that I said Arsenal versus Bayern absolutely guaranteed for the quarterfinals. It's A, Harry Kane playing against Arsenal, but B, some of our listeners may be old enough to remember all those years ago when Arsenal were last in the knockouts of the Champions League, just repeatedly getting absolutely battered off Bayern Munich, like fives and sixes every time they played. And I just think there's a couple of narratives there that are really, really exciting. That being said, I think Arsenal are a better team than Bayern Munich. I think Bayern Munich have better players, perhaps, but in terms of how they actually operate as a functional team and as a unit, I think Arsenal play better than Bayern Munich this season. Maybe there are some things that Bayern could change to help with that, but in a head-to-head, I think what's going to be interesting is I think Arsenal obviously may struggle away to Bayern, but Arsenal are so, so good at home. And Bayern Munich, I don't think, have what it takes to put in a Porto-level performance with Eric Dier, De Ligt, Guerrero if in defence, Mazraoui at right-back maybe. Like, they've got a very attacking team. I don't know if they've got what it takes to put in that defensive performance. And I think at home, Arsenal could do with them what they did against teams like Liverpool and stuff like that. So I do actually fancy Arsenal to go through. I suppose advantage Bayern in a sense that I think the second leg is in Munich. So that could be interesting.
Really, we're going to talk about picks and everything because we'll have an episode out before these games actually happen, definitely, before the deadline. So let's just very briefly, initial reactions, because we've got 6 minutes and 46 seconds left. Real Madrid City, obviously, blockbuster tie. We saw it last season and Man City deserved to go through. Can that change? What do you think, Lewis? Who's going through on that one?
I think Man City go through. I still think Real Madrid are a threat and I think they can score, but it's a massive game, and it's gonna, again, it's one of them that's causing it quite a stir, isn't it, with UCL fantasy players. What the hell do you do? You know, like, can you afford to drop Bellingham? Can you drop Vinicius? How full on do you go with the Manchester City defence? There's a lot of kind of questions that we're probably going to answer in future pods, but
yes,
there's a lot to this game.
Who goes through, Dan?
Yeah, Man City. I think that Real Madrid struggled against Leipzig. Man City are a great team. I saw what they did to them last year. So to say that Man City are going to batter them by any description at all, it's Real Madrid. You have to afford them every amount of respect you've got for a football club. I just personally think Man City are going to go through. In terms of dropping players and stuff, I don't know how many people have got the luxury. We've got five players, we've got five transfers, and I know for a fact I've got four players knocked out. So we need to address those first before we start
getting into the luxury areas. Do that in another pod, but yeah, definitely. I've got three transfers already used, I think. I think Real Madrid are going to go through. Team for the big occasion, want to be different. Ooh, and I want to be different.
Exactly. And you're wearing a white hoodie.
yeah, exactly. Grey. It is quite cool, actually. You've got some Newcastle shirts on. It's quite cool. Nice. Yeah, thanks. Atletico Madrid, Dortmund. Who's going through? A minute for this. Lewis, go. 30 seconds for you, Lewis.
Ooh, I'm probably gonna. Jesus, that's a tough one, isn't it? I'm gonna say Dortmund.
Okay, good. All right, you. What do you reckon, Dan?
Madrid.
Nice. I'm gonna go Madrid as well. Let's go Madrid. Because I want Dortmund to suffer after they beat us twice. PSG Barcelona. I'm gonna say PSG going through. I'm gonna say Mbappe gets to the final with PSG actually, and plays Real Madrid, the team he's gonna go to in the future, and he scores the winner but doesn't celebrate. Lewis, what do you think?
That's a tough one. That's a really, really tough one. I'm gonna go for PSG and Mbappe.
What do you reckon, Dan?
PSG, Mbappe is going to win it for them. Of course he is.
That's all the games, isn't it? Brilliant. Look, as we've alluded to, we haven't had time in this podcast, and you don't want to hear it now anyway, because everything, so much changes between now and the next deadline, that there's no point talking about too many picks and things like that. We've all got players we need to remove because they've been removed from the game because they have been eliminated, especially Inter and things like that. So we will be back before the next game. And the next game is, in fact, it's not for a while. It's like 2-3 weeks away, isn't it? So it's April the 9th is Tuesday, April the 9th. The next round kicks off, quarterfinals. We'll be back probably the Thursday, Friday, Saturday or something before that with our thoughts. Look out for the tweet on our channel at UCL Fantasy Pod. No, at Fantasy UCL Pod. That's right. Otherwise, that's Dan.
You can't follow me at UCL Fantasy Pod.
Follow both. And look out for the tweet asking for your questions and things like that. But thank you very much. Have a good couple of weeks and we'll be back then. Say goodbye, Lewis and Dan.
See you later.
See you later, everyone. Bye.